As these continue to pray, don't want to slow them. They're fine just right where they are. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter, I will get there eventually. This week and next week, I'll be working from a specific topic that I hope will be a great blessing to you. I see all the time and get to see people that, as they say, I'm doing better than I ever have. And it's almost like a merit badge, you know. I'm doing better. In fact, I'll shake hands with people at the back door today, and their life is not where they want it to be. It's not going the way they would like it to. But I'll shake their hand, and when I do, I'll say, "How's it going?" "Oh, it's good. It's good. Everything's good." Because good is a wonderful word when you don't want to say no more, isn't it? Because you can say you're doing good, and it doesn't have to come nowhere near where you'd want it to be. Nowhere near great. Nowhere near the best. Just good. Man, everything's good. It's working. It's going. Nowhere in Scripture does God ever wish for you good. God never looks down and says, "I hope you just make it to good." No, He'll say things like, I want you to have life, and I want you to have it more abundantly. No, I want you to reach a level of perfection. I wish that you would be perfect. Now, perfect doesn't mean that we've got everything. We're ever going to do everything every day to the nth degree. What it means is that I woke up this morning mature. I woke up this morning with the capacity to be able to do whatever it is I want to do. And I've got the backing of God to get it done. I'm a mature Christian. In fact, good is many times the worst culprit of the best. And that's what I want to speak on today and next week. Only the best. And it's hard a lot of times for us to see that, but when we come to God, you're going to have to come to Him with that mindset, or it's going to cause you relational problems with Him. Because He's sometimes not going to do things you want Him to do, or He's not going to react the way you want Him to react, and things are not going to work out as fast as you want. And what will happen is, you'll settle for good. When God is saying, "I'm working for your very best. I'm working so that the very best can come out of you and so that the very best can be seen." And you're saying, "Well, God, it doesn't look like it right now. It looks like I'm going through a lot of pain, a lot of trouble, a lot of difficulty." But God, if you say so, I'll do it. In fact, we eventually narrow it on down to where even our deeds, we don't a lot of times do the best. We just do good. We call them good deeds. You know, I've done a lot of good deeds. Now, a good deed is something like this. A good deed is kind of like the guy that got the parsonage for the pastor, a couch and everything. That was a good deed. And it worked out good for both of them because, like he told the pastor, he said, "Pastor, I'm going to donate the couch. I want to donate a couch to the parsonage." And he was like, "Man, that's great. I need a couch. We don't have one in there." And he said, "Well, it worked out just fine. Me and my wife have been talking, and we're fixed to buy a new one. And so we got to have a place for the old one to go, and we want to make sure you got one." And we call that a good deed. We've got 8 jackets in our closet. We scrounge through there and we say, "Well, I don't wear that one very much anymore. In fact, I'm just about to outgrow that one, so I'm going to give that one to so-and-so. And we give it to them like we've given them something just wonderful. And we call it a good deed. Because, see, good doesn't have to be anything great. It ain't like you went through your closet and said, man, that's the best jacket I got, and I'm going to make sure they... It isn't like I kept my old one and said, you know what, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to buy a new couch so that the pastor in the parsonage has a new couch. I'm going to keep mine, but I'm going to spend my money. It ain't like we did anything great. We just did... Yeah, and so we kind of get in that mindset of everything going along in our life becomes good. And so, how are you doing? I'm doing good. What are you doing? I'm doing good. Everything is good. And somebody will come along and say, well, as long as I'm giving, then, Brother Lott, shouldn't that be enough? I mean, the whole goal is to give, right? Just to be a giver. Not with God. One unique thing about God is this, is that God will not accept anything but best. And a lot of times we get into a lot of problems in our lives and we get into a lot of struggles because we're like, well, God, why aren't you blessing? Why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you helping me? And God's like, I'm doing as good as you are. What you're sowing is what I'm giving. If you sow your best, then you're going to get. But if all you're doing is giving me what's left over, then don't expect the very best of me. And it gets us frustrated because, like, a lot of times when I'm sitting there worshiping, I know people will be seeing me from behind and I know they're thinking, that guy's lost his mind. But that's my best. God, I'm to give you my best praise, my best worship. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm not trying to do anything. But for me to sit here and not do anything, that's not my best. For me to just, oh Lord, it's great. That's not my best. But for me to go after you, that is my best. To praise you and to lift you up. I try to sing as loud as those people got the mics in their hand. I want to be able to hear me over the people with the mics. And a lot of times I can do it. That's the beautiful thing about having big pipes. And I just love to sing and love to work. Not because it sounds great, not because it's my best. And then God turns around and says, I'll give you my best. This is one of the biggest things that happens a lot of times, is that we get frustrated and can't understand. In fact, even when we begin to read Scripture, it is in our best. A lot of times we don't even realize that that's where God's operating and wanting to operate. Go with me in your Bibles to Proverbs, the third chapter. In verse 5, you don't have to. It'll be pulled up just in a second. We don't change the translation, so we didn't tweak the Bible, so it's good. Proverbs 3 in verse 5 and 6. Notice how it says this. Trust in the Lord with most of your heart. No, you trust in the Lord with your very best. All of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all thy ways, do what? Every way that you got. I put this in every one of my kids that graduate. It's in their Bible, or I quote the Scripture and put it in there when we give them Bibles. I make sure that this is in there because it's the foundation for everything in your life. Don't go to God and think I'm just going to do good and that's going to please Him or be enough. God doesn't work that way. That's what got Cain in problems and troubles. Cain did something, but it wasn't his best. And because Cain came and dumped some fruit and dumped some vegetables on the altar and said, God, I grew a garden and I had some stuff and I thought I'd pick a few things and give it to you. God said, no, no, I don't accept it. And Cain got mad like we do. Why are you so mad at me? I did something for you. I gave you something. You ought to be happy I gave you something. And God says, you don't understand. I want your very best, Cain. If you do good, if you do your very best, if you give everything I've asked, then good will come. But if you don't, then don't be surprised that I reject it and won't accept it. And when it works this way, in all my ways, I must acknowledge Him. Because if I can do this, if I can put Him first in my life, then He begins to do what? He directs all of my ways directly by the path that He's designed for my life. So that's why He's able to trust me. People look at me and they'll say, well, you've got, I mean, look at all these blessings you got. You got a motorcycle, and you got this, and you got that, and you got a church, and you got a beautiful wife, and you got all this stuff. I didn't just end up with this stuff. It began at verse 5. It began with a simple fact. Go back to verse 5 and let me show them. It began with the mindset of the trusting in the Lord with not some of my heart, but all of my heart. I had to trust God when I was dating. I had to trust God when I was going out. I had to trust God with what I would drink and what I wouldn't drink. I had to trust God with what I would do and wouldn't do. I had to trust God when I was invited to parties and not invited. I had to trust God through all of those things because I knew something was at the end. And when I did that, I began to not lean on my own understanding. I don't want to get too angry right here. First service I did. I'm going to do better. But some people irk me. Look at the person beside you and say, some people irk Pastor. And I'll give you scenarios. It's like somebody that says they love their children. I love my kids. And he's sitting there puffing 3 packs a day in the house. And I'm thinking, you dipstick's the best way I can come up with it. You don't love your children? Because on the package, it says it'll cause cancer. You're going to tell me you love something so much that you're going to give it secondhand smoke cancer? Because the statistics are this, that the leading cause of cancer is cigarettes. The second leading cause of cancer is secondhand smoke. So if you don't die of the crazy stuff that somebody's already wrote on the package it'll kill you, then you got enough love in your heart that you're going to blow it in front of everybody's face and lock them up in the house with you with the windows pulled down for 20 years and tell them you love them while you give them cancer. Somebody better get real with me. You don't love them. You love yourself. They're just at the sacrifice of self. Don't ever kid yourself there. Because here's what's happened. Here's what's bothering you. You can't acknowledge God in all your ways. And because you won't acknowledge God and trust God, listen, you lean on your own. You'll come up with some crazy theology like this. Well, it probably won't happen to me. That's good theology. Yeah, that's what I want to tell my 2-year-old. It probably won't happen to you, kid. The statistics are against us. We're going to have to understand that God doesn't want our good. He wants your... And there's times when that's going to upset you in the process. I probably upset some people right there. That's okay. You can like me later. Even if you don't believe in God, I got science on my side. That makes you feel any better? But the fact is that if I don't trust the Lord with all my heart, I'm going to lean on my own understanding and I'm going to begin to come up with ways and ideas and things and way I see things. And I'll convince myself of all kind of crazy stuff. I'll think it won't matter if I do that. It won't hurt nobody if I do. I'm not hurting nobody but myself, Brother Lot. I was in the car the other day and it just tore me up. Because I still have some of those spots in my life where I think, well, that's not affecting nobody but me. And we were talking about addictions and things, and we were talking about certain addictions, and I looked at Elise and I said, well, if I did that, I said, you know, it's not really hurting anybody but myself. And Elise looked over at me from the passenger side and she said, it would hurt me. Man, I just about wrecked the car. Because it never dawned on me that I was hurting if I was to do that, if I was to act that way. I would be hurting more people than just myself. I'm just drinking a little bit, Brother Lott. It ain't hurting nobody but me. I'm just looking at the pictures. I mean, it's just pictures. It ain't like I cheated on anybody. I'm not hurting anybody but me, Brother Lott. No, you're hurting people. The problem is that you're leaning on your own understanding. And when you don't acknowledge Him in all your ways, and you don't trust Him in all your ways, and you don't follow Him in all your ways, then what's going to happen is you're going to come up with a theology, and He's going to step back, and He's not going to direct your path. He's just going to watch you as you stumble along through. And what's so crazy is we'll blame God when we get there. God, why did you let this happen to me? And why did you let this happen to me? And why did this happen? Why did you have to let this? God's like, I didn't bring any of this on you. The reason you're pulling that oxygen tank behind you is because for 20 years I tried to get you to read the package and you wouldn't read it. And now all of a sudden you're blaming me because you got to carry an oxygen tank around. Get real. We're going to have to first, before we can go any further with God, to get our best, we've got to kill good. You've got to kill good if you're ever going to go to great. Because here's the way good and great work. The devil can't make you do nothing. Can't make you do anything. God sits way over here on this side and He says, I want your best. I want your best. The devil kind of sits there and kind of wonders what you're going to do. He knows he can't get you to go too far this way. So what he does is he just migrates it toward the middle. What we call good. And we live a life where we can't fulfill all that God wants and we can't get it all done. But at the same time, we can go through life convincing ourselves. We sit here on Sunday mornings and we can say, I'm a good person. I'm not a bad person. There's a lot of people worse than me, Brother Lott. I mean, I got a lot of things, but I'm a lot better than I was 10 years ago. Brother Lott, look how far I've come. Da, 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 da. And we convince ourselves while we still stay in the same hole. I want to give you three things. Three things you're going to have to work on. And you're going to have to do if you're going to come out of good. And I hope you do. Because when God thinks about it, even the very favorite scripture we use all the time ought to tell you that God doesn't care about good. John 3:16, we can all quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His... Now, so you could replace that with He gave His all, His best. God, when He looks at things and wants to operate with things, always thinks from the best. And someone would say, well, I mean, it's my life. Well, let's talk about that. Go with me to Acts 17 and 28. Does God have a right to ask for my best? Does He have a right? When the Apostle Paul began to study this, here's what he came up with. For in Him we do what? So without Him right now, you wouldn't be living. Without a God, you would never have been created. You would have never been here. There would have never been a you. So before you start to say, this is my life, understand, without God, you would have none. Not only that, but notice, and move. This morning, you got up. You were able to move. You were able to lift your arms. You were able to move your head. You were able to stand on your feet or whatever you were able to do. You were able to get into a car and drive here or sit in a car and ride here. You were able to do all of those things. And Paul said, not only would I not be existing, but without Him, I cannot even move. I don't have any muscle capacity. I don't have any ability to move and do anything that I would do without Him. How about even further? And have our... being. You say, well, I live in a bad home. At least you got one. I don't like my clothes. At least you got some. I don't like what my family always makes me eat. At least you got something to eat. My bed's too hard. I had to sleep on the couch. At least you got a place to sleep. Before you go too far down the road, you better understand that any blessing that you have at all, any being that you have in your life, any family that you have is all because of the grace of God. I have my movement, my life, my being, my existence. I have everything that I have today because God was willing to give it to me. My very next breath, my very next movement is all because of His grace. That's what angered him so much in Luke when we read about the rich man who had had a great bumper crop in his fields. And he had such a crop that it was going to overload his barns and he wasn't going to have enough room. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my little barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. And so then I'm going to be able to sit back and I'm going to be able to do what I want to do and relax. And I'm going to be able to say, soul, just enjoy yourself for all that you've got. And the Bible says God spoke to him at that moment and said, you fool. Tonight, as though you had some calendar of events, it's already on my calendar that tonight you'll stop breathing. Tonight's the night I'm supposed to come visit you and you have that massive heart attack in the middle of your bed while you're sleeping that night. They're going to find you tomorrow morning dead in your bed. Then who's going to have all your barns and who's going to have all of your stuff? You don't have a say in how long or how short. You're one doctor visit away, one bad diagnosis from the world saying you'll be out of here in a year. And yet we live as though it's my life. I can do what I want to do and how I want to do it and when I want to do it. Be careful how far you stretch. Be careful how far. Well, Brother Lott, am I supposed to walk around scared I'm going to die? No, no. He wants to bless you. It's when we try to walk in a world where we think I will figure out how it's going to work and how it's going to be. God says, the only final say in this thing is me. Now, if I can do that, then I can operate on three areas that I have to give my best. Number one, I have to give my best to God in my thoughts. You must give God your best thoughts. Look at that person beside you and tell them, think good things. Now, I know people are going to say, I can't help what I think. I can't help all that I... Yes, you can. That's non-scriptural. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 and I'll show you. Your brain is not a depository for all the devil's junk. You have a say in what you're going to think about and what thoughts are going to be operating in your head. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against who, what? The knowledge of God. And bring into captivity every thought I bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let's see if I can explain it this way to you. Brother Lott, you don't realize I have these thoughts, I have these problems, I can't do anything about them. Well, that's amazing because scripturally we're not able to get there. In fact, with Mark 10 and 27, we read that with God all things are possible. How does this work then, Pastor? It works like this. Somebody will say, I'm sick. Because I catch this all the time. I tell people I have a covenant of healing. And I do. It's nothing no more than you've got. It's just you don't want to stand on it most of the time. I have a covenant of healing. It's called the Bible. And in that covenant of healing, it says this, that by His stripes I was healed. It says lay hands upon the sick. Brother Lott, you don't ever get sick? Sure I do. That's a bad mistake for the devil to bring sickness on me because I know exactly what to do. Call the elders of the church. And in prayer of faith, when they begin to pray for me, what's going to happen? He shall be healed. Now, you may not like your Bible, but that's what it says. You can mark through those pages and write whatever you want to. You can put if, maybe, all the other things that have moved from the best to the good. And you may want to live a good life. And you got a good life. But I don't like living a good life. I like living the best life. I like living the abundant life. And the abundant life says that I can lay hands upon the sick, pray for those, and they shall be healed. See, so here's the thoughts in my head. The enemy comes along and says, Tim, you can't hold to that. You can't do it. You're going to have to come back here to good. Now, it may work some of the time. It may work most of the time. I'll even give you that. Tim, most of the time it's going to work, but not all the time. Then I have to say, oh, no. I catch that thought because that thought is not scriptural. It may sound good to me. I may like hearing it, but it's not scriptural. And I have to tell myself, self, you get back over here. And my body's like, I don't like this. This is real fanatical. This is real tough. Yes, it is. You're going to have to wrestle this out. And you're going to have to understand that if I lay my hand on my head, there's days I get headaches just like you do. You know what I do? I take like this hand right here and I say, head, in the name of Jesus, you better get a feeling good immediately. I'm telling you, I'm laying my hand on my head and I'm commanding my body right now to be healed. I have to ride around with people all the time. You got some Advil, you got some Bear, you got some this, you got some that. Sure, I keep it with me all the time. Best witnessing tool I got. Here, take all you want. I'm not living there. You don't know what it's like. No, I've had surgeries on my knees. I've got a shoulder that's been knocked out of place so many times that right now I rode the motorcycle and couldn't raise my arm for 3 days. I know exactly what it's like to hurt. I messed my back up when I was putt-witting at 12 years old. Spent 3 weeks flat on my belly with them rubbing cream of Jesus and everything icy hot on top of it. I can't hardly lift anything without cramping up and hurting. I can't stay in this position very long before I'll go down. My back will totally give out. Well, I don't hear you complaining. What's to complain about? I don't live in the good. I live in the... So if I need healing, I'm healed. If today I say, God, I got a lot of lifting to do. You're just going to have to let this old tore up back do the work today. Well, Tim, you may not be able to do that. Your bodies can't handle it. Oh, well, today it will. It may not want to tomorrow, and it may argue about it tomorrow and whatever, but today we're healed, and today we're going to do the best. And today, devil, you're not going to take away the word which says, I am healed by His stripes. He didn't take that beating for nothing. I accept that beating. I accept that what it did brought me healing, and I accept that I am not going to live in that sick state for the rest of my life. Now, when you meet these people, they're going to be fanatical to you because you're a good person. And I get in a lot of trouble about that. People come into my office, good people. They just want a good word, and they end up getting the best. And that ticks them off. Well, I don't want to have to do that. Just like marriages. It's real simple. Husbands, you love your wives so much that you'll die. That's all you got to do. That's right. So when you think about leaving, you'd have to die to do it. How hard is that? She don't love me. She ain't killed you yet, has she? Then you're not free. Because when you stood up there, you said, till death do us part. And as long as you're breathing, you're still expected. You don't know what she does. Doesn't matter what she does. You married her. That ain't my fault. I can't help it. You can't pick quality. That wasn't part of the prerequisite. I just said, when you stood up there in front of God and said, I do, it meant till death. All you got to do is die. And for some of us, it's a slow death. Can't do no more, boo. That do list done got this long on the refrigerator. You're killing me. You're not dead yet. But guys, before you get all bent out of shape, ladies, all you got to do is be submissive to your husband in everything. In everything. Man shouldn't have to walk around wanting to make love to somebody because you won't make love to it. If he says, look, I'm kind of feeling kind of freaky. You need to smile at him and say, you want to do it in the closet or in the bedroom? Just tell me why you want. In everything. Don't get me wrong. Don't do nothing illegal. Don't go down to the corner. And he said everything. I want you to run down the corner, buy them drugs from my friends. And no. But it means in the context of marriage, you are to be submissive unto your husband. You say, that won't work. That works perfect. You got one guy on the other side dying for his wife. You got the other one on the other side being submissive because the other one's dying. Sooner or later, one of them's got to croak. And that's what happens. That's why they put in that point. Till death do you part. But somebody's going to give up the ghost. And that's a beautiful thing. Usually happens many, many years later. Nobody complains 40 years later. Nobody complains 30, 40 years later when they look at each other and say, thank you. I've given you all I got. I've done all I can do. They're not mad. They're not upset. They loved each other. But the thoughts, the only person in this room that can control the thoughts, the best thoughts, will have to be you. Now, let me put it to you this way. You say, Brother Lott, the government of the mind is in my own hands. That's right. Everything that you think is your own ability or lack of ability. You can't blame it on anybody else. Now, I get in a lot of trouble for this, but I want to just say it point blank. If I want to get drunk, I can go get drunk. God will not meet me at the quick stop and stop me. There won't be no angel standing out there and body slam me. If I want to go do it, He will not stop me. If I want to go get high, if I want to cheat on my wife, I can sit here and think about it and find me somebody and I can go do it. The only person that governs my thoughts is me. Well, you say, then why don't you? Because I like being free. Freedom, when they were singing about freedom today, do you know what freedom really is? When they're saying freedom, freedom, freedom is this, is that I can do any of it. But I don't have to do anything that I don't want to do. And so when I begin to weigh it, and I'll say, you know what the Bible says, which you understand, I lean not on my own understanding, but I lean on the Word of God. And the Word of God says, look, don't be drunk with wine and strong drink, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I done figured out I can't be filled with two things at one time. So I had a decision to make. All right, God says the best would be to be filled with the Holy Spirit and all that. But you know what? I'd like to party a little bit on the side. So maybe I'd just be good. You know, I only get drunk on Fridays, be sober by Saturday, and be on church on Sunday. How well do you think that's going to work? No, no, no. Either I'm going to live the best or I'm not going to live the best. Now don't look at me like that because some of y'all play that game. Some of y'all do your own thing Fridays, sleep around, do whatever you're going to do, then all of a sudden you're going to get cleaned up, put some nice clothes on and come in here on Sunday like you got it all together. You're only living a good life. You're only living a good life. And in our world today, to live a good life, they think that's great. If you've been married less than four times, you've been a success. If your kids are not drug addicts and messed up like you see on TV everywhere, then you've done a good job raising your kids. Just be glad they're not in prison. Thinking, what kind of world do we live in? Where good is acceptable. No, even for our children, we would say, I want you to have your best. I want you to be the best. I want you to do your best. When I look at my kids every day, that's all I tell them. Look, I don't know if my kids will be A students, B students. I don't know. Only God put that part in them. Some of them it comes natural. I've been around people that come. I'm not. You could whoop me every day and threaten me, and you're not going to get A's out of me every day. It wasn't going to happen. But I look at my kids every day and I say, look, do your best. If you do your best, you'll never hear me say a word. The only time I get upset is when I know you're not trying. When you just lay down and not try, that's what bothers me. And it works the same way with God. You must control thoughts. Now, number two, you must control impulses. Impulses are the second thing. Impulses get you in trouble. Impulses are those moments that I do something before I had the time to think about it. Because if I'd have thought about it a week later, I always remind myself, what was I doing? Anybody ever done that? You have to train your impulses to do the best. When I was young, this is where we had a lot of problems. I come from a family. My uncle was Golden Gloves boxing champion of Mississippi. My father boxed in the Army. while he was in the military. So you imagine kind of how life was around my house growing up. One of the Christmas presents we got from the time we were 3 years old was a pair of boxing gloves. My dad would find kids in the neighborhood, "Hey, you need to come over here and box with Tim." Some of them were twice my size. "That's fine, he can handle it. That boy, he's tough, he can take it." And so I was raised fighting, boxing. It was just part of who we were. If we didn't have gloves, we were taking socks and rolling them up and wrapping them on our hands. Me and Trent were boxing right there in the front. I'd get on my knees because he was smaller. And we just knocked the fire out of each other. That was the way we was. So you can imagine the way our triggers were. We'd sawed them off a little bit, so it was kind of like... And fighting was not like what you see people do. You know, when somebody can fight, it's not like what you see on a normal basis. I meet people all the time, they don't know how to fight. They come up to each other, bump each other. "Come on now, I'll tell you. If you're around somebody who can fight, you would never get that close. Not unless your hands are ready to do battle. Because you get that close, somebody's going to grab your jugular or they're going to knock a hole in you. And so we were in that mindset. We would just walk into a classroom. If you had done us wrong or said, and you were sitting there with your head down writing on a pencil, that's too bad for you. Because my job was to walk by your desk and just try to my best to knock you flat through. If your head come off in the process, that's good. That quick fight. That's the way we were raised. My mom, sweetest lady you ever meet. I mean, you meet her, she's just as sweet. This was her strategy, us to go into school. She said, "Boys," she said, "I don't want to ever hear y'all starting anything." Because we were taught to take up for people that couldn't take up for themselves. That's the way we were trained. We cannot stand, even to this day, I cannot stand somebody, an underdog, being picked on. That just, it just bothers me. She said, "You boys don't start nothing. But if somebody wants something, you make sure you give it to them until they don't want no dessert with it." That's the way we were sent to school. "Y'all boys have a good day." And that was life. So you can imagine when I got saved, really saved. I ain't talking about just, you know, I mean really saved. Gave my life to God. Want to live, want the best. And God says, "Forgive your enemies." Oh, Lord. You know, Lord, I mean, because I don't care who you are. If you start being nice to people, they know people that ain't going to hit them. They know, I don't care if you're in school, they know the good kid. They know the kid that's just a good kid. He don't want to fight. He's just a good kid. He ain't going to say nothing. And you can get away with saying things to them and picking on them because you know they won't fight. I mean, they might if you just pinned them up in a corner, but they're not going to fight. Not because they can't, just because they won't. Man, I became one of them kids. Oh! You have no idea my senior and junior year of high school what it was like. I mean, it was all I could take. I thought, God, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. You know, people saying things, I can cure this problem. You don't do nothing. Forgive them. Say something good about them, Tim. Say something good about them. And I struggled through this process of getting saved and trying to do best, controlling my impulses. Because isn't it amazing how people will pick at you and prod at you, trying to get a reaction from you? Let me tell you something you probably hadn't thought. The devil already knows what you like to impulse. That's why he does pick at you. Because he knows you're a hothead. He knows that you'll blow up. You'll let it out. You've got to change the impulses so that when somebody does you wrong, you automatically do them good. And it changes the whole fight for the devil. Right. Bro, that's tough. It is tough. It is tough to not get angry just because I can. That's, you know, it's just the way I am. Sometimes I get mad. No, that's the impulses that you've lived by. You've got to change your impulses. My dad had to do that when he got married. It was so funny. Watching a 260-pound man. He's married to a 120-pound woman. And she go, yay, 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 yay. We just sit there and watch it. He'd go to the living room. There she'd come in behind him. Yay, 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 yay. And you hear him start, you know, it ain't mama no more. It ain't sweetie. Jane? I'm telling you now, Jane, get out of this room now. Jane, leave me alone, Jane. I'm like, you go, old man. I'm telling you, I'm going to do something now. Yeah, you talk about you're going to do something. Hey, go ahead and do something, old preacher man. You preacher, you're going to do something. I'm like, oh, man, leave it, let him be. And I thought, God, why would you curse him with that? And it took me years to understand is that God didn't curse him with that. Remember now, my dad, natural impulses. God put her in his life to train his impulses. Because here's what eventually my dad would do. Instead of reacting anymore, he'd start crying. Now, I ain't talking about like he didn't deserve being chewed out. No, don't get mad. Don't be going, oh, poor DeWitt. No. You don't know DeWitt. At least it's like, he deserved every bit of it. He deserved it all. Let's just say he had some of it coming. But in that process, Dad, instead of pushing her across the room, which he could have done very easily, or just backhanding her one time and putting her pretty much to sleep for a few hours, Dad, with big old tears that come up in his eyes, and I'd see those hands, and I'm thinking, because I've seen this man pick up full refrigerators and deep freezers and load them on trucks, and I'm thinking, he pinched your head off, woman. Because I know he pinched my head off. And I know he pinched your head off. He goes storming out the door. I had all I could take. I'm through. We through. I'll come back and get my stuff later. And I'm thinking, he's leaving. Mom would just grin. She'd walk to the window, watch him drive out of the driveway. Of course, we're all sitting there. Mom, he left. We ain't got no dad. You ran off dad. You crazy old woman, you ran off our dad. She just smiled. She said, he ain't going nowhere. Sure as the world, he'd ride to town, get a paper, come back up in the driveway and sit out in the car and read the paper. And finally, when his attitude got right, because here's what DeWitt didn't want to do. DeWitt didn't want to let his instincts and his... He wanted to react and get rid of the problem. When what he needed to do was to sit down and say, Jane, let's talk. See, all she really wanted to do was talk, but he wouldn't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to say it. So she just nagged at him until finally something had to break. Some of you young girls, and I'm just going to tell you what God's telling me. Some of you young girls in here, you need to dump that guy until he learns to handle his impulses. Because listen to me. He grew up in a home where whacking a woman was natural. And it sounds funny right now that he's tough and he's all this and he's bad, but I'm going to tell you something. It's going to come a day when he ain't going to walk out the door crying. He's going to knock the fire out of you. And then he's going to come back and say, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't hit you. You listen to me. Let God deal with the problem before you have to. I don't know who that's for. But I had to say that to somebody. It's not saying he's Mr. Wrong, he's Mr. Right. I'm just telling you, let God deal with the impulses, because until the impulses are dealt with, he'll say, well, you know, sometimes I get mad, or sometimes I just get angry, sometimes I lose it. Sometimes, no, you don't. You decide to. You have decided to act out because it gets you what you want. And God says, you're going to have to control your impulses if you want my best. For some of us, our impulses is, if we're alone, we start doing something we don't need to do. Our impulses is, if we're driving around, finally got $5 in our pocket, we go buy a bag. Some of us, our impulses are different things. But we're going to have to kill the impulses, because until you kill your impulses, nothing about your life is going to move from good to great. Number three, and I'm through. You must then give God your best power. Brother Lott, what is my best power? There's certain things in our life that we have said, that's my power. You ever hear the old phrase, if it's in your power to do it, then do it. What happens is, so many times is, we tell God, now God, you get this part of my life and this part of my life, but now it's in my power to figure out who I'm going to forgive and not forgive. It's in my power to decide if I'm going to or I'm not going to. In fact, some of you this morning, you know how much power you got? You had to decide this morning whether you were going to go to church or not go to church. Can you imagine that? You're a Christian and you got that much power in your hand that you can tell God, I'm not going to your house today. But you can leave as much in your power as you want to. Or you can give all that power to God. And what the wise man does is, he takes all the power out of his hands and he says, God, I don't want no power. I don't want no power. I want to follow you, be directed by you. If you tell me I got to forgive, I want to forgive. If you tell me I've got to do it, I want to do it. I don't want to have any power to be able to tell you no. I don't have any power to say I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. The only times in your life you're ever going to run into major trouble is when you know God's told you to do something a certain way. And you say, I'm not going to do that. There's some of you in this room today, there's certain things you're doing that you know, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to be drinking that. I'm not supposed to be sniffing that. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm not supposed to be hanging out there. I'm not supposed to be. But here's the problem. You put it in your power. And you wake up every day and you decide whether you are or aren't. And that's a big temptation, folks. Believe me, I've been there. When it's my decision whether I'm going to get drunk tonight, that's a huge weight. Now it just depends on how bad my day was. If my day was real bad, then I decide I'm going to. See, whether I am or am not going to sleep with somebody, that's in my power. If I take it out of God's hand and God says, look, is there a ring on your finger? No, then you ain't sleeping with them. But God, I'm going to lose them if I don't. I mean, they're going to find somebody. Then let them go find somebody. If all they're looking for is a tramp, then go find a tramp. You tell him when he's through with the tramps, go buy a ring. They sell them at Walmart and tell them to come put one on your finger and promise to do what? Die. Yeah, you get it right. Go buy you a ring. Come get ready to die. Then you get all the mama you want. That's the way it goes. I know it's too simple, ain't it? Because see, God has a whole book where He gave directions. And what we do is we try to say, well, I like part of it, but I don't like part of it. And I have certain things. My mama taught. I don't care what your mama taught you. I don't care what your daddy taught you. If it ain't in that Word of God, it ain't right. That's why some people can't go to church with different people of different color and different things. Because mama and daddy... Well, it's amazing God never said that. He said there is no Greek. There is no Hebrew. There is no anything. We are all children of God of the same color, the same name. It's all the same. Only person messed that up is you. Because you put it in your power to tell God, no. Nope. I don't go hang out. I ain't doing that. When you get the power to tell God no, then that gives the power to the devil to trick you. See, I can't get drunk because he said no. I can't go do certain things because he said no. There's a lot of things I can do because he said yes. But they're not my decisions. It's not in my power. So you can get, you don't have to get mad at me. Hey, Tim, you want to go do this? No. You chicken? No. Then why won't you go with me? Because God told me I couldn't. Oh, man, God don't care. I mean, it don't really matter. I don't know what book you're reading. But the book I read said no. And you got to be willing to do that. David was a master at this. And I'm through. David was a master at this. In 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter, and we'll deal more with that next week. Here's what he says. He's in a bad position. And he needs an answer to prayer. And here's a man that God is not frustrated by, because David always gives his... If David goes and fights a giant, he ain't taking one rock and run. He said, I'll carry five extras just in case I miss with the first one. And you know what? I'm going to stay on the battlefield until somebody's dead, and it ain't going to be me. That's why God could trust him. Because he gave his best. In fact, he would say of David, that's a man after my own heart. David is in a bad position, and he's headed. And the prophet tells him, he said, I want you to go to a guy's house. And we're not going to get into all that. But I want you to go to a guy's house. And when you get to his house, he's got a threshing floor. And I want you to go to that threshing floor, and I want you to make a sacrifice there. And I'll answer you. So David heads that way, gets there. The guy who owns the threshing floor looks at him and says, look, I'll give it to you. Here's my oxen. Here's my wood. Here's my stuff. Take whatever you need and make your sacrifice. Man, it's a blessing. You're a king. It's an honor to be able to give you this stuff. And here's one of the most powerful things you'll ever read. David has a certain kind of heart. Now think about it this way. I want you to just be honest with me. Let's say this morning you were headed to church. And somebody called you, your mom or your dad called you on the phone. And said, hey, you going to church? Yeah. Look, I tell you what, let me this morning pay for your gas. I'm gonna fill your tank up and pay for your gas. How much do you normally give in the offering? Well, normally I give my tithes, that's about 20 or 30 bucks. I want to do that for you today. Would that be cool? To some of us it would. We'd think, thank you, Lord. But see, not really. Because someone who knows God understands that God always requires my what? So when this guy offers David free, the threshing floor, and offers it free, the cattle, he don't have to pay nothing, David looks at him and says, no. I'm going to give you 50 shekels of silver for this and gold. Well, no, I'm giving it to you free. I mean, I want you to... I know you do. But see, I know God. And I know Him so well that I know that if I offer anything up to Him that costs me nothing, He won't accept it. He won't accept it. So listen to me here. There may be some of you in this room that think, man, I pay a high price. That's a good thing. There may be some of you here that say, hey, I go through some stuff. I'm struggling with some stuff. That's a good thing. Because can I tell you something about God? God is intently looking for people who can make sacrifices toward Him. If He can find people who can make sacrifices toward Him, that moves God. What angers God is when we try to give something that costs us. And there's too many of us in this room, just like me. I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming me too. We think it's a good deal sometimes when it don't cost us anything for God. But can I tell you something? it's robbing us of the best. There's some history that always surprises me. Do you know when the church always grows the most rapid? It always grows the most rapid when it's under the greatest persecution. You study history. See, our church right now in America is going, it's getting gray-haired and people are dying out and young people won't come. You know why? It don't cost nothing to go to church, so I'll do it next week. But now they'll pay $150 a week, a month, for a cable so they can watch channels they don't even turn on. They'll pay country clubs and pay this and pay that. And it costs something, so it's valuable. Brother, I don't know about that. I'll put it to you this way. This is pretty simple. If you went home today and your cable didn't work, satellite was out, I mean, it's football day. It's racing day. It's turned on the TV and none of it came on. Would you be excited about it? Or would you get on the phone and say, "Dad, come on. Hey, what's wrong here? I got a problem here. I need somebody, a technician, somebody. I need somebody to help me. Call Dish Network. Call somebody." Don't lie to me. I'm paying good money. But now how about this? Let's say I called you last night, everybody here, and I just said, "Guys, we just decided we're going to take off tomorrow and not have church tomorrow. And you guys enjoy your day off." Whew, I'm so glad they didn't make us have to go to church. I didn't really want to have to get up and get ready anyway. That'll save me. That'd be good rest. Now, you get mad about something that has value in your life. Very few people would say, "Look, somebody better find Pastor Lott. Somebody better get him up there because I'm going to be there in the morning." Because it costs something. It has value in your life. And God made us in a way that, you know what? He said, if you don't have a cost to it, it won't be of value. Some of us in this room today, the reason we don't have the relationship we want with God is because there's no cost involved. The higher the cost, the greater the relationship. Just imagine if you gave Him all, how valuable He would be to you. Maybe like the Apostle Paul, you would say, "He's my all in all. He's everything. I don't have an answer without Him. I don't have a breath without Him. I don't have a life without Him. I don't have a future without Him. Without Him, I don't have anything." I don't meet many people like that anymore. I meet a lot of people that do good. Trying to do good. Just trying to do good. The killer of the best is those that just want to do good. As for me, I want to be able to say, I want to do my best. I want to be the best Christian I could ever be. The best. I don't know what that scale looks like to God, but I want Him to make Tim Lott the best He can make him. And then let Him shine. Don't let the best be sacrificed at just good. It'll cost you too much. Way too much. Will you bow your heads? Father, Lord, thank You today. Thank You for the altar service that You gave us, that lives that were touched and transformed. Thank You for the music that God stirred us, brought us into Your very close presence. God, right now what I'm praying over is this word. There are people in this room that still play with things, are addicted to things. They still, their impulses, when they've got the opportunity, always drag them to the bad, not to the good. God, their power, they leave way too much in their hands. They get too many decisions. They won't give it away. God, my prayer is today that we will do what Proverbs says, that we will acknowledge You in all our ways. God, we won't lean on our own understanding, but Father, we will lift You up. We will lay down our life for You, and we'll follow the direction that You take our feet. God, help me today to be a better person, to be perfect. My goal is to be perfect. Teach me how to do that better today. In Jesus' name, amen.